Blog Talk Radio.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart.
Shows. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
So yeah, what?
But then you'll have really only about a month off. Then you have to start rehearsing in the other theater.
Correct. Yes, we have just about a month off in January, and then we start back up January 28th to rehearse for the new space. So it's
you're
exciting.
All excited, I guess, huh?
We're so excited. Yeah, I know a lot of us have planned some trips for January and, you know, taken a little bit of a break. And then before we go back at it, it's pretty in January. It's been, we were just saying, you know, after the four extensions, it's been almost 6 months, I guess, since we started. So it's been a long time. And, you know, back then it was only supposed to run for 6 weeks, or, you know, it's just supposed to be the summer. So it's been
really
a pretty wild ride. Yeah.
Well,
amazing.
I guess it must have got a lot of publicity that it was out there, I guess. Or do you think was that or a lot of word of mouth?
I think both. I think a lot of word of mouth, though. I think, you know, right off the bat, you know, I remember the first audience, you know, was we didn't quite know what we had, and then, you know, it starts, we come out singing Tradizie, and the audience is cheering, and, you know, hearing the response, it was like, wow, you know, it was really, really something special. And then I think, you know, the reviews came out, and word of mouth, and it's just been selling out every extension. It's been pretty great. But I think a lot of word of mouth.
My take, by the way, I don't know if you saw my review.
I did. It was wonderful. Thank you.
I'm
glad you enjoyed it.
Actually, I had to calm it down a bit because I'm remembering that I'm probably going to go to review the show in February because I'd be curious to see if there's anything that, in terms of, well, not the sets, but, you know, being in a different theater.
Yes.
I don't know if it's, the heck is, okay. I don't know, it's something on a web page or something. Anyhow, because I'd be curious to see, like, is the theater going to be, the seating of the theater uptown going to be the same size, by the way?
There's
have
going
you seen
to be
it?
A bit more. I haven't seen it yet, but I read that I think it has, 499 seats. And I believe at the museum we have 350, 360, somewhere around there. So, yeah, about 140, 150 more. But it does look like it's still an intimate space, you know, from the pictures. So that's good. Yeah, because it's, you know, a smaller, intimate production. So I think it looks like it'll really still look, it'll have the same feel there, you know.
Oh, that's good. That is so, well, first let me ask you, are you part of the National Yiddish Theater?
Well, I am now, but this is my first production with them. Yeah, so I didn't know Yiddish at all before this.
Do you know it now? Other than your lines.
You know, it's been kind of a crash course. You know, we had 4 weeks of actual rehearsal, but they were so organized. It was like, you know, choreography in this room, staging in this room, and Yiddish coaching in this room, and, you know, everything. The stage management team is just so on it. So we really, you know, had an adamant amount of Yiddish coaching, and then we'd also all of us go home and drill it, you know. So now I'm, you know, obviously I know my part and the show, you know, everyone in the scenes with me, what they're saying and all that. But I would love to go back now and, you know, go back to the basics and start from the beginning, because it's like, you know, you jump ahead and learning a whole show and learning the part in Yiddish. I would love to be, you know, what you learned in French 101, you know, my name is, and all the, you know, the grammar.
Oh, yeah,
the Workman's Circle, they teach classes in New York, and they do online classes, and so I've been looking for those classes to keep going with it, because now I have such a fondness for the language, and I love it. I want to keep going.
Did you learn all the curses at least?
No. Merle.
You have to learn the curses because they're hysterical.
Yeah.
The translations.
So funny. Well, they put a Yiddish quote of the day up on our call board, and they're all in with a little cartoon going with it. They're hilarious. I mean, it's so funny. And then there's, you know, the books go around with the curses and stuff like that. So I have read through them, but they're so funny. Oh my goodness.
It's hysterical. I always used to wonder, like, who came up with them?
Right.
Who came up with them? And what does it actually mean? Yeah, because there's a curse. I mean, there's a curse. Gekakenaf and Yam. That's what I always heard. Did you want to curse somebody
out?
I've
heard that one. Yes.
And I wondered, with the translation, who came up with it? Right. What does it exactly mean?
To
curse somebody
hilarious.
By say, go take a crap in the ocean. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I thought of that. That is a gem. That is hysterical.
You know. But anyway.
We got to find out. I'll be on a mission to find out where that started. That is so funny.
I mean, I mean, it's...
It's so clever.
Oh,
I love
God.
It. But it really is such a funny language.
After
so
this,
expressive.
At another time when we're not on the air, I'll tell you some
yeah,
of the
I
want to
hear more.
And none of them are really like nasty words.
Right.
It's just
it's like this clever, unique way of cursing someone out that is like, yeah. Oh, I love it.
But
that is hysterical.
I have to tell you some of that because that's
yeah, you have to tell me.
I'm the one. I'm second generation. So
mm-hmm.
what happened, my grandparents, all four grandparents, came over here. From what
mm-hmm.
I got, they only spoke, they spoke Yiddish. They didn't speak
mm-hmm.
the language of the country they came from.
Okay,
they spoke
yes.
Yiddish. So all my, so everybody on my mother's and my father's side, they would speak Yiddish to and Yiddish to each other. I didn't know what they were talking about, but my mother would talk when she didn't want me to hear what she was saying.
Yes.
She would talk.
Oh. That's good. It's like, you know, what we do now when we spell things out when the kids are young, are young too young to hear. You know, that's
yeah.
good.
So tell me,
so
tell me how you got the poet, by the way.
Yeah, oh, well, you know, I had an interesting start to the show. I actually, I auditioned for Golda, and then I ended up, I was Grandma Zeidel in the beginning for the opening, and I was understudying Golda. And then, yeah, a few weeks into the run, I took over for Golda, the original Golda left. And so I've been doing it since that was like July 20th around there, July 23rd. So it's been an interesting, you know, I got to play both roles and, you know, it was really, really fun to get to do Grandma Zeidel too. And now to do Golda. So it's been a wonderful experience. But the audition process was really cool. And we, you know, they gave us our scenes in Yiddish and songs to learn. And they were great about sending clips of MP3s of the dialogue, you know, so that we could learn it quickly, you know.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, we had a few days to learn these songs and scenes in Yiddish, and so it was a cool challenge for all of us, I think, you know. And then they were able to see if we were able to learn it quick enough, you know.
Do you think there were people in the cast that actually speak Yiddish?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
there are
okay.
There's a few. Joanne Bortz, who plays Shandel, she's fluent in Yiddish. And Moshe Lobel, who plays the Morcha, the innkeeper, is fluent as well. And then there were a couple in the original cast as well that have left that also were fluent. So there were enough, yeah, so it was helpful a lot to for ad-libbing, and, you know, they helped us a lot, you know, helping us find, you know, the ad-libs and things like that when we couldn't get to our Yiddish coaches.
Yeah.
So it was really, really nice. But they were great. Mazel Didner was our coach, and Sabina Bruckner also. They still come and you know, because every now and then it just comes out wrong, or, you know. the sounds, you're like, oh, it didn't come out right today, or, you know. So it's helpful that they're always there for us. And, yeah, and at this point, you know, we're all so familiar with it that we kind of know, you know, when it comes out wrong. But it's really nice to have the team with us. That's great.
Now, in your background, have you ever done fiddler before?
Yes, this is my third time. I did chava in college, my senior year. of college at NYU. We did Fiddler on the Roof, and I actually had never seen Fiddler on the Roof before that. I didn't see the movie or any production. So when I was doing my research, I got the Sholem Aleichem, the Tevye stories, and I just fell in love with them. They're so funny. You know, I found myself laughing out loud, and like, how often do you laugh out loud with a book, you know?
Right, yeah.
These characters, I mean, Tevye is just one of the most wonderful written characters. He's so full of life and colorful, and he just jumps off the page, you know. So it was interesting looking back, preparing for this. I still have the book, and I was thinking about, you know, when I was reading the stories for the first time and the pictures of the characters in my mind without having seen the show. And now it's like, you know, the fact that they were written in Yiddish first and now we're doing it in Yiddish, it seems to be full circle. You know, it's like in Stephen Skybell's Tevye, like to me, just really is the Sholem Aleichem Tevye. It just jumps off the page.
Yeah.
He's really incredible. Yeah. So that was the first time I did Fiddler. And then I also did the revival, the 2004 revival. I was a daughter in that as well. I was one of the daughters in the ensemble. And then I understudied Tevye's three youngest, Chava and Shprintz and Belka. So,
right.
So now it's funny that now this is the first time doing the show since, and now I'm my first time doing a mama, so it's been really,
yeah,
really full circle, you know. I've, you know, played Tevye's youngest in the family, and now, you know, the oldest. So it's such an amazing role. I feel so honored to be playing it, and in Yiddish, you know, it's just incredible.
Now, and just in looking at it from your watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
What is your take on it in terms of, do you think this is the best rendition of it versus, in other words, we had the movie, we had the Broadway
right.
show, and now we have this?
You know, it's interesting. I think there's a place for all Fiddlers. I've loved the movie. I've loved the productions I've seen and done. For me, I feel like this is the truest for me, you know, personally. Speaking the language they would be speaking in 1905, shtetl in Russia, you know, it feels very authentic and like we're really telling their story. I think it's such a beautiful show, but yeah, I think this happens to be my favorite. And you know, it's so simple, you know, that it's amazing. You don't really need that much of a set to tell this beautiful story. It speaks for itself. So I think in every way, it's just a beautiful, special production. So yeah, it happens to be my favorite so far, but I and this cast is so magical. It's really a family, you know. Looking around, we look around at that final circle before we leave at the end, and looking around, it's like you really love every single one of them. It's such a special community. So I think it's and from our amazing, incredible director Joel Gray, stemming down to all of us. Just a really special, special production.
Yeah, I could imagine, you know, of all people directing to get him. I wonder why he chose to direct?
You know, he says that, they called him, I think Zalman Lotek, the artistic director, called and asked, and I think he said he had to think about it, you know, and then he thought about it, and he said yes. I think seems like he was really inspired, and I think he knew that this would be magical. I think he really yeah, was inspired by it, and it seems like he just got it. You know, it was amazing to watch him work with everyone. I loved the rehearsal process, just watching, and you know, he just knows these characters so well. You know, and found the moments. You know, he would work, found these little moments that you know, I would have this, and watching him, I would think, oh wow, that's it. You know, that I never thought about. You know, it's pretty amazing. He's legendary. You know.
When did you start acting, by the way?
You know, I think I was about
from the day
15.
You were born.
You know, I guess, yeah, a lot of kids, my niece is so into the theater now. She's only 9, and she played Miss Hannigan and Annie last year. She was hysterical. She's amazing. But I started, a little later in life for, you know, as far as most actors go. I was like 16, so I started singing, and then, you know, we didn't do productions until high school at my school. I grew up in Long Island, Patchogue Medford, and we did Oklahoma, and I ended up getting Laurie, and it was my first time acting, you know, and it was, I fell in love. So it was, and then I ended up, you know, doing more at the community theaters out on Long Island, and I just really fell in love with it, and then went to school for it at NYU, and have been doing it ever since. We're really lucky to get to be, when we get to do a special show like this, it makes it all worth it, you know?
Oh, yeah. But you live in Queens now?
Yeah, I do. I live in Astoria. I'm over by the park, Ditmars.
Did you see the lights?
I was just going to ask you the same thing. That was crazy. I didn't see it. We were in a show. My husband was out of town. He texted me.
I'm out in Woodhaven.
Where are you?
No, I didn't even see it.
Oh, you're Woodhaven. Okay. Woodhaven Boulevard, or is that?
Yeah, Woodhaven Boulevard,
okay.
Near Jamaica,
okay.
Avenue, all the way,
oh,
like, south.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah. Yeah, so we're actually around the corner from the Con Ed plant where I am. I go running by there all the time. Yeah, so, you know, I saw on social media all the pictures of the light, the blue lights and everything. And by the time I got here, though, it was over, but there were still lots of cars and ambulances and not ambulances, I guess fire trucks. I don't think anyone was hurt, but anyway, yeah, it was pretty wild. So, but I wasn't sure if we would be out of power or anything, but we were fine. It's pretty crazy.
It's interesting. It's interesting about a story about it's like all the people who especially anybody in show business, like, we can't afford to live in Manhattan. Let's go to Astoria.
Right. I know. You know, I was just thinking the first time I moved out here was, I was doing that last revival of Fiddler. I moved during that that run, but I was in Manhattan, and I just, you know, and also you get more space, you know, more space out here. And I moved, yeah, that was like 2005. So I've been in Astoria ever since then. I bounced around, but I really love this neighborhood by the park. It's so nice. The Astoria Park, and they're constantly making changes to it. I think they're working on the track right now, and it's a great neighborhood, you know.
Have you gotten taken the ferry yet?
Yes, I love the ferry. Have you taken it?
Oh yeah.
Do you ever take it? Isn't it nice?
I've done some articles. I did one run. I had my nephew came with his kids, and I didn't know what to do, and I decided to do a nice tour. So we took a taxi over to, I guess, took it to Long Island City, got on the ferry, went to Wall Street so that the kids can look around and whatever. Then when we got to Wall Street, we did some stuff there in Manhattan. But coming back, we took from Wall Street and went took the whole route to the Rockaways to come back.
Wow. Oh, that must have been nice. I haven't done the whole route.
You can see, you're seeing it just about, you know, all this. The cost is so cheap compared to if you went on a tour.
Exactly. You may as well, right? It's $2.75, same price as a subway, right?
Yeah.
And the kids must have loved it, huh?
Oh, yeah. The kids loved it, yeah. But
I took my nephews on it, too. Yeah. It's a great view and such a relaxing way to commute. I did it a lot in the summer going down to the Battery for the show. I would get out of Wall Street and walk over, but it was so nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that route. I have to, as they come up with some others, I have to, well, I don't have to, but, you know, like I'm in touch with the PR company that handles that, so I was doing a lot of stuff with it, you know. I suppose you go to MoMai?
MoMai.
The Museum of the Moving Image?
Yes. I love that museum. It's been a while. They're always having great exhibits, and I think it was like the Jim Henson one I wanted to get to, and I missed that. But
right.
It's kind of, you know, not far from us, but it's in the different neighborhood. But it's so cool, and they have all the costumes and. It's such a great museum. I love it over there. And then the movie theater's over there too, which is nice. We do go to that.
Oh yeah.
That movie theater often. But Astoria is such a great neighborhood. I really love it. And there's a few of us from the show.
Yeah. There's the one who played the rabbi. Isn't he from Astoria?
Yes, Adam. Yes, he lives in Astoria.
Yes.
Ben, who plays Mazel, lives out here, and our stage manager as well.
Right.
It was a nice Astoria crew.
Think, yeah, you guys got interviewed by one of the other papers.
Yes, we did. In the beginning, we did the Queen's Courier. Interviewed us. Yeah, and we had a picture. That was really fun too.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can get the. One of the other papers to review the show.
Oh, nice.
Well, because, see, what happens with these local papers, the Queen's papers, is they won't touch anything in Manhattan unless there's a Queen's angle to it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah,
so
that's
I'm trying
great.
To
there's
see
a few of us.
If I, you know... get them to cover it, you know, as well. Well, I try.
That'd be great.
I have another paper that I'm... Actually, the guy I went with that I slept there works for one of the other papers, but I don't think they'll let him, you know. But that's okay. We'll get it out there. By the way... Did you wonder about my name?
You wonder, what do you mean?
My name being Merle Exit?
Oh, yeah. Tell me the story.
I changed it to Exit so I could see my name up on lights.
Oh my I love that. Oh, that's so great. When did you change it?
Well, actually, I changed it when I first remembered about it. I was like 10 years old. And my uncle said to me, you know, when you go into show business, change it to Exit and you'll see your name up in lights. So things, you know, I had gotten into show business. And at some point I said, I might as well do it. Might as well do it. And it's always like, had always been my, you know, like the opening line in my act.
Right, right.
About my name.
Oh, it's so great. Oh, that's the best story. Your uncle, and he must have loved it.
Oh, of course he loved it.
Yeah. So, that's such a great story.
But what's so funny is when I sometimes I tell people my name and they go, "Exit." Like what? What?
Right.
What the background are you?
Right. Right.
Thinking
yeah,
from what country?
Up.
And I'm going. you really think that?
Which
cracks me up anyway. I'm
and
a comedian.
Worked,
that's
right?
what I. That's my.
You
I'm a comedian, singer, actress. That's my.
Oh. That's your thing.
Yeah.
What are do you? Do you have anything coming up?
I stopped
to?
Doing it. No, I
okay.
stopped doing it. I got to a point I said,
have...
I really had enough of this. And somehow I found myself writing. So it's like, that's all, you know, now I have the radio show to, you know, to have fun with, you know, but to, and also
and
to
so
give other
great.
People publicity, but yeah.
Right.
But,
right.
And I can understand,
to...
I think I did both Golden. Both Golda and Yenta. I did Yenta for community theater, but I did Golda, which was like one of my friends was in doing dinner theater, and he said to me,
okay.
They need a new Golda in 2 weeks. I said, okay. I said, okay, I'll audition. And I auditioned. I don't even think I auditioned. I remember auditioning. They just said yes because he said so. And they gave me one rehearsal.
One rehearsal?
One rehearsal.
Whoa.
They out of their minds. But I think it was a short version of it. I think they were doing it. I think I remember mostly it was just the songs. As opposed to all the scenes. Yeah. Thank God, because I'm going, it's crazy.
Yeah. That's a huge role for 2 weeks in one rehearsal. Oh, my gosh. Wow. That's so funny. Where was that? Was that out here?
Actually, it was a dinner theater out in Long Island.
Okay.
Can't think of the name of it.
Oh, my gosh.
But,
that's so fun. Did you have fun with that and Golda and Yenta?
Well, I had a lot of
fun.
Every time I got off the stage, I went looking in the script again to see what my next line was.
Yes.
What else could I do, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Wow, one day. It's so funny. We, you know, over the years, everyone has these stories. It's like, the life of the theater. It's like the show must go on. You have one day to learn this or what, you know. 2 hours, you're out. You know,
yeah, right.
So, and somehow it always comes together. Like somehow it always works. Like it's amazing what people can do.
Yeah, I know.
You know, when you're under the wire and lights are off, you're out. Great.
Then the other challenge. I think my other challenge was 2 weeks to learn Pirates of Penzance.
Oh my gosh! What? And that the whole show is sung, right? So you had to do the whole show, right?
Yes,
oh
entire show.
Who did you play in that?
Kate,
yeah.
One of the daughters.
Oh, yes. She sings, she sings a beautiful song. When they're out on the beach, right? That's right. I love that show.
You know, trying to remember if I ever had a solo, I couldn't think of it.
Yeah, I think she does. I remember I played Mabel once, and I think it's when the daughters are out, and it's like in the beginning, she has this beautiful song. I forget now what the name of it is, but anyway, I love that show. It's so fun.
Yeah, I did it. As a matter of fact, it was, you know, John O'Hurley?
Yeah.
The actor, John O'Hurley.
Right. Yes.
He was in it with me.
Oh, really?
He was in it, and
great.
Yes, and still has the same personality.
Yeah. Oh. That's
whatever
wonderful.
You saw, it's him.
Oh.
Even off stage.
Oh, that's so great.
But, Yeah.
You guys must have had fun.
You know, you have any funny stories? What's your funniest or any funny ones?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I've had a lot, you know, it's like costume mishaps, you know. I was doing Greece in Europe. I was doing a tour, and I was playing Sandy. And the zipper on the back, you know, when she has their big transformation at the end. And,
yeah.
You know, I was wearing this, like, black, you know, leotard thing with big high boots and the hair and everything. And the zipper, the zipper broke. And my dresser's trying to get it to work and everything. And, you know, it's a quick change. So I had to just run out there. And, like, my entire, like, backside, the zipper was open, you know. So I'm trying to do the "You're the One That I Want" choreography without turning. And I tried to, like, just face downstage the whole time. And, you know, the whole thing with that song is the two of them, you know, "You're the One That I Want" and the spinning and everything. And Danny has no idea what I'm, you know, why I'm modifying the choreography. It was so funny. And but the rest of the cast is upstairs, so they're laughing, looking at, you know, they see the whole thing. It was so funny. It was so embarrassing. But, you know, those kind of things happen a lot with these quick changes. It's like anything can happen. Anything can go wrong, you know. And then you got to make it work somehow, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my gosh!
So do you
when
it comes? By the way, when it comes to what is it with theater? Was it the Tonys? I keep forgetting. Is Tony's theater?
Oh, the Tony Awards. Yes, it's theater.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, would the show even qualify if it goes off Broadway?
I don't think so. No, I think the Tonys are just for Broadway, I believe. So since this is off Broadway, I don't think it would qualify for Tony Awards. But I think there are others maybe for off Broadway or the Drama Desk or something like that. Yeah. But gosh, I mean,
because I think this deserves it.
Oh, that's so nice. That's so nice.
I really do. I mean,
yeah. It's really something special. And I mean, Stephen Skybell, Tevye. I'm just so happy people are getting to see him and play this part, and what he's doing with it. It's just incredible. And Joel Grey, I mean, definitely deserves all the accolades for this show. He just really created something wonderful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. We're excited. And I think the website is up for the transfer. I think it's fiddlernyc.com. We just got the link to it.
The tickets went on sale.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, about a week ago, I think.
Oh, great. Oh, great.
I think it went on sale on the 17th.
Okay.
It started
to
go on sale.
Yay, so exciting. Yeah, I was walking by the theater the other day, and it's getting exciting as we come to an end where we are now. But it's been so special down at the museum. You know, and being next to the Statue of Liberty, and it's really, really, I'm glad you got to see it down there, Merle. It's something really, really wonderful down there.
Oh yeah, it certainly is.
Yeah.
But the lights will be brighter.
It'll be a whole new thing.
It's off Broadway only because of the size. I didn't understand what that meant. Because it's two blocks from Broadway. So why is it called off Broadway? But it has to do with the size of the show.
Right. Yes, the amount of seats, right? It's under 500. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure either. I recently found that out as well. Yes, yeah, so since it has 499. I know, it's so funny, but yeah, it's going to be nice to be like right there in the heart of everything, you know.
Yeah, we have to set it up for people. Now, when you come off with the in this show, mm-hmm. nobody comes. Like, do people wait for you guys? Like, autographs and all that stuff.
They do. Yeah, we have. There's like the lobby there, you know, where you get your tickets in the merchandise area. There's a lobby there, so people do tend to wait out there. It's really nice, we've had, you know, some celebrity, you know, when the celebrities come and everything, there's like a hallway there where like the coat check is. So we've had some people come back there as well, and it was amazing. Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal were there last Saturday.
Oh, great.
Yeah, they were really nice. It was amazing to meet them. They really loved it. It was nice. So, been getting
good.
a lot of people coming.
For Christmas, did you have Chinese food?
I didn't have Chinese food. I do celebrate Christmas. So I did. I went out to my family's Jackie was saying she went for Chinese and the place was packed. It was like, you know, in the city. It was like, you can't get a table. It's so funny. I love it.
It's a tradition.
It's a tradition, exactly.
Yeah.
So did you get Chinese?
I sent in the Chinese food.
Oh, that's great. That's even better. That's so great. What's your dish of choice?
Well, I tend to, when I'm going for Chinese food, I tend to go to downtown Flushing.
Ooh. Oh,
Flushing, but I call it Flushing, you know. I'm just same.
Oh, that's funny.
Just different pronunciation of the same letters. I like authentic food.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't like the old typical foods of, you know, mm-hmm. Chinese food. And this place had opened near me that has Taiwanese food.
Oh, wow.
So I was able to try some dishes that I usually don't have.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yes, so that's what I did. Otherwise, you know, for Chinese food, I really like, you know, I can't deal with the local places. I mean, it's like, that's nice, you know, but I don't like Americanized. Don't Americanize
mm-hmm.
it for me. I'll eat chicken feet.
Chicken feet, really? Oh, I don't think I've ever tried that. I'm not too adventurous.
Really delicious.
Is it? Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, really. It's Chinese.
You have to try it.
On the way the Chinese make it, it's really delicious.
Okay. All right. I'll have to try it. One day I'm feeling brave.
No, it really is good. It's actually, the funny thing is, chicken feet is really a Jewish tradition.
Oh, really?
Because it was very typical of, like, if you were going to a kosher butcher and you got a chicken, I mean, they're going to give you the feet as well.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So what would happen is that they would either put it in the soup, or what my mother would do, I always remember, she would take the feet and she'd put it over the stove to burn off, I guess, the heavy skin that's there, and then she would cook it. But I never got to eat it because there's only two feet and she wanted it.
Oh. Oh,
so
great.
So wasn't until I was going to a Chinese restaurant for dim sum that I saw this, and I said, well, all right, let me try this. I said, wow, this is really good. It's in black bean sauce and,
you know. Yeah. Oh, that's so great. All right. Now, well, now you got me thinking. I got to try it.
Yeah. And I'll give you one more interesting Jewish tradition. I've mm-hmm. always wondered about, why is it that Jewish women play mahjong?
Yes, I love mahjong.
Now, I researched it because I didn't understand. How is it that it became a Jewish tradition for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what I had gotten was that, well, us Jews get kicked out of every country. So at one point, a group went to China.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in Shanghai. And while they were in Shanghai, that's where they learned how to play mahjong.
Oh,
so when they
wow.
came to the United States, they brought it to the United States.
Oh, my goodness. I never knew that.
And have you ever played, by the way?
Yeah, you know, I was doing a show down in Naples, and some of the women taught me. I'm not very good, but I watched them play, and I was like mesmerized. The tiles are so, you know, it's all so beautiful, and it seemed.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I was like, am I gonna get this? You know, it seemed very complicated, but I loved all the pictures, and I was like, this game looks amazing. So yeah, so they taught me, but I'm not very good yet. I have to keep
well,
playing.
What became interesting, because I don't know what the reason or where this started, when they play mahjong here, there's cards. Like every
mm-hmm.
year another card comes out, and you have to play only the hands that are on the card.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching the Chinese playing mahjong. There's no cards.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah, they don't use. Okay.
Oh. They don't have cards. They play, and they play whatever the hands.
Right. But, oh, wow.
You know.
That's
so now
really
I want
good.
To find out who started the thing with the cards.
The cards. Now, yeah. Now we can.
Oy, we need to make some money. I'll tell you what. Let's put out some cards. And this year, and everybody can play, but they got to buy a new card.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Oh, that's great. Oh,
anyway, all right, I'm going to let you go.
Okay. All right, Merle. Well, it was so lovely talking to you. This is so great.
Same here. Well, again, we'll get together and I'll tell you some of the good ones.
Yes, yes. I want to hear the good curses, right?
Yeah.
That's so great.
And trying to figure out why. Like, what
who thought
is
of
that supposed to mean?
Yes. Oh, that'll be fun. Oh, that's great.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much, Merle. You have a happy new year.
You're very
okay?
welcome. And as I said, I'm looking forward to seeing it in February.
Yes, absolutely. We'll see you there.
Okay. Have a great
Thanks,
day.
Thanks, Merle. You too.
Bye, Jennifer.
Bye, Merle.
Okay, so I am going to, before I end the show, I have to have... Yes.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, our brownies. And that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com, and they have these soft batch cookies. They have these mint ones. Oh, they came out with a brownie with a cinnamon. Yeah, cinnamon brownie. I'm looking forward. I forgot all about that. I have to get some more of that. Well, so I'm going to end the show now. And for everybody, we'll have a... I'm just looking to see. No. The rubber chickens are taking a nap. I don't know what it is. They always seem to want to take a nap when I want them to talk. But anyway, so have a great day, evening, or whenever you're listening to it. TTFN.